Blog Talk Radio.
Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Tuesday, December the 5th. Today, we're going to catch up with our good friend Frank Burke. As many of you know, Frank is the author of a very good book about the media and high-profile cases, and we certainly have a high-profile case right now in Washington, D.C. And this is, of course, the Mueller probe into whether or not there was any collusion between the Trump campaign and Russia and everything coming from that. So we're going to talk a little bit about that because there's been some very interesting controversy here in the last 24 or 48 hours about that particular investigation, some things that I think are very damaging to the investigation itself. So we'll get into that with Frank in a minute. Just a couple of quick takes. I wanted to let you know that I have a piece over at the American Thinker this morning about violence in Mexico. And violence in Mexico has become a real problem. Not today. It'll hopefully be available tomorrow. Violence in Mexico has become a real problem. And they thought they had dealt with it before, but unfortunately, they have not. And it's a problem that has many, many problems, if you know what I mean. It's one of those complicated problems that is simply not going away anytime soon. A lot of it has to do with the judicial system. A lot of it has to do with the cartels. And of course, the cartels, our consumption of illegal drugs is obviously helping the cartels with a lot of money. And so it's a very interesting article. I hope you enjoy it. And hopefully it'll be available tomorrow over at my friends over at the American Thinker. Let me say hello to my good friend, Frank Burke. How are you, Frank?
Well, thanks, Silvio. Things are a little cooler up here in Wisconsin, but that's what we've got to expect, and it's probably good for our health.
Why not? Why not? A good chilly weather to go out for a walk. I'm always up for that. Well, I wanted to before we get to a lot of serious stuff today, Frank. I wanted to just say that Walt Disney was born on this day in 1901. He died in 1966. I didn't realize he only lived 65 years. I, for some reason, thought he lived longer than that.
Yes, that is amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. When you consider the impact this man has had, I mean, I cannot think of a human being, but a movie maker in the 20th century who touched more people than Walt Disney. Certainly, let me say, generation after generation. I mean, his characters, his movies just go from one generation to the other. It's just amazing, Frank, what he did.
Well, it is. And, you know, it's funny. I remember years ago hearing one of these authorities on movie business, DeMille, Disney, and Griffith.
That was his name?
No, I said the three great directors in the movie, great movie people.
No, I'm sorry, Frank. What happened was, please repeat what you said, because I lost I lost a little bit of it. So please repeat what you said about the three, because I lost part of it. There was like a mute there and that's why I didn't understand what you said. So forgive me. Please repeat.
No problem. Simply that years ago, I remember hearing one of the big legendary authorities on, wish I could remember his name, on Hollywood history say there were three major factors in the movies in the 20th century, and they were DeMille, Cecil B. DeMille, Disney, and Griffith, David Wolf Griffith. Yeah. And to put Disney in that category, you know, with his so-called cartoons, but he really did change the world.
Well, I thought so. I mean, I cannot think. I look at my life and I see what an impact these characters had in our lives, whether it was Mickey Mouse or Donald Duck when we were kids, to movies like The Swiss Family Robinson, you know, or stuff like that. It just seems like there's a Disney movie every time I think of my life. There's the Old Yeller. That's another one. There's like a Disney movie every time in my life. And you know, he's still going, of course. He's a business now. I mean, Disney is a huge corporation. They own networks and all of that. So this is a huge thing. But when I looked at his life, 65 years, I would have thought he lived a lot more than that. But I don't know how he died, whether it was suddenly or whatever, whether he was in bad health, I don't know.
In fact, I think it might have been a lung cancer.
Really? I just think it was some form of sickness. Yeah, it's just an unbelievable shame what a successful man he was, and how he could, you know, just the whole thing. I mean, how he started out with all these ideas that became these characters that will probably outlive him. I cannot think, as long as there's kids with imagination, there's going to be a place for Disney, it seems to me.
I think so, too. You know, and I think in a lot of ways, the success of corporation has betrayed the intent that Disney had, and which is a shame, because he was a true visionary. And I think a lot of the others are just, you know, co-opting things and trying to fall in with what's current.
Yeah. Well, that's exactly right. And I can only tell you that, as I said, he touches me every time I see Mickey Mouse. It reminds me of something in my life, you know, that we all go back and remember. In fact, there's a song called Disney's Girls, which could really be Disney's Boys. Yeah, there's a song, Disney's Girls, that the Beach Boys sang, and Art Garfunkel sang it also. I don't know who wrote it right now. But the idea of the song is that Disney just takes you back to your youth. And whenever you're thinking of Disney, whenever you think of the name Disney, you think of your younger days and growing up and all of that kind of stuff. Well, let me get to our topic tonight, Frank. This is, to me, a huge development here. I have a feeling that we're going to learn more about this. This is going to get more and more complicated over the next few days. But it's interesting because there's a timeline here. I don't think they timed it this way. In other words, they didn't plan it this way, but the timeline has worked out this way. First of all, on Friday, you have Brian Ross of ABC coming out with the fake news and then having to take it back. And now Brian Ross has pretty much destroyed himself. Then you have the next story of the FBI agent working for Mueller, who was tweeting anti-Trump stuff from his desk. Then now you have the second FBI agent who had taken a political position regarding that lady that Mr. President Trump fired earlier this year, the acting attorney general, who was a holdover of the Obama administration, who didn't want to enforce the travel ban. So that's another FBI agent. But what is really starting to complicate things, and by the way, in between those events, there was a very interesting editorial in the Wall Street Journal today, pretty much tearing up Mr. Mueller. So now today we learn that this particular agent, he's got a very difficult name to pronounce, so we'll just call him Peter because that's his first name. He was the one who was reprimanded for what he did, the tweets. He happened to be the agent who interviewed Mr. Flynn. But Mr. Flynn was never advised while he was being interviewed that the man interviewing him had put some political cards on the table. And an article came out this afternoon from Greg Reynolds. He was quoting a friend of his who's a prosecutor who was saying that this case could actually be dismissed. Because if Flynn was not told, or his lawyer was not told, that this FBI agent was actually a man who had been dismissed for bias, that this whole case could get thrown out. And I mean, the Flynn case could get thrown out. And I'm starting to think here, wouldn't that just be, I guess I would see it as a sweet thing, because I think Flynn was really trapped in this thing. But it just seems like this, you know, I'm saying a lot of different things. I realize that, but I'm just simply saying this probe, this Mueller probe, Frank, is literally falling apart. I don't know how else to say it, Frank.
Well, I think it definitely is. And the tragedy is, and you know, you see this in several iterations, if you will. The first thing is when Trump fired Comey and he appointed the new head of the FBI, you never heard of any steps that man took to clean up the FBI. He never came out and held a press conference a month into the job and said, okay, we have problems here in the FBI, and here is what I am doing to cleanse the slate. You never heard that happen. Then you never heard the Justice Department, with all the problems that have occurred in the Mueller investigation and the fact that they have proven absolutely nothing about collusion, nobody has said, Mr. Mueller, you are far out of your league. You will come up with proof or you will shut this thing down now. And there's Jeff Sessions sitting there in the middle of this while all of this garbage goes on. And not only that, but Congress is suing his Justice Department and the FBI because they've stonewalled him with records. So I personally think that anybody who was touched by this thing, like Flynn's case, is going to go right out the window because nobody is going to tolerate. I don't think any fair judge would tolerate the kind of treatment that man's been subjected to, and for what? And for
right.
And
exactly.
You know,
go ahead.
This is so liberal. They could not sell global warming. So now it's, well, it's really climate change. They could not sell Russian collusion. So now it's obstruction of justice. Give me a break.
Right. No, and that's part of the problem that I've had with this from day one. I mean, it was created to investigate collusion, but it seems like, you know, they're into all kinds of different areas, or at least the leaks. And that's the other thing, Frank, that has been driving me nuts. All these leaks. There was a leak today about apparently they're looking into President Trump's bank records from his business days. What does that have to do with collusion? What does that have to do with his mission? I mean, it may be that there's some problem with the bank records, but that has nothing to do with his investigation. So it just seems to me like this whole, you know, this, I just think it's falling apart. That's what I mean. I'll go on record and I say that in the next few days, this whole thing is going to fall apart. And if Sessions doesn't step in and shut this thing down or maybe do something very dramatic, I think maybe the Attorney General Sessions needs to go as well, Frank.
Well, I've thought that Sessions needed to go for quite a while because he really had no business recusing himself. I don't think any Democrat would have recused themselves. And furthermore, the comments he made to Congress when they asked him, why haven't you investigated Hillary Clinton and the email situation? He said, we don't know that rises to the need for a special prosecutor. Well, really? Then how did he figure out that these ridiculous allegations of Russian collusion having to do with the election, of which there was never any proof, rose to the level of a need for a special prosecutor?
Well, I've never been a big fan of these prosecutors, Frank, because even when they investigated Bill Clinton, I was not a fan of them because these prosecutions have a way of going way beyond what they were supposed to do. They become this unlimited budget operation that can basically investigate everything. They've got all the money in the world, so they go against a citizen who obviously cannot just, you know, pay lawyers for hours and hours, and they go and I suspect some of that is what happened with General Flynn. Now, I don't know why General Flynn lied about his conversation with the Russian, because he wasn't doing anything wrong. I mean, he wasn't violating any law. So it leads me to think that maybe he was really pushed around by the FBI and told that, you know, if you don't take this plea, we're going to go after your son, or we're going to do this, or we're going to go after that. And I think that's a shame. I don't believe that's the way you treat people, unless you're dealing with the mafia or something like that, or terrorist. That's a different story. But I think when an American citizen is interviewed by the FBI, the American citizens should have the certainty that the FBI agent is clean, or is coming to the investigation with clean hands. And that was not the case here, Frank.
It never was. And, you know, I think you have to say that when it came to Flynn, okay, he had a conversation with FBI agents on this long ago. And they said that they thought he was telling the truth, that he was a little confused. There were some things he didn't remember, but they thought that was sincere. Now, you go back, you take that, and you put it in the hands of a rabid guy like Mueller, who's saying, well, you didn't tell the truth. Well, I didn't remember. Well, you lied. That's what it was. And we're going to break you, and you're never going to, you're going to use all your money defending yourself unless you confess to a lie. You know, what's he going to do? I mean, this is coercion.
Right.
At the worst level. This is not America.
Right. And this is simply a level of... this is stuff that again, if we were dealing here with a mafia leader or a drug cartel leader or something like that, tactics of that nature, or a terrorist, and we're trying to find out, you know, what other places they're planning to blow up or whatever, that's a little different. But we're talking about an American citizen, and the idea that an American citizen would be interviewed by an FBI agent who has clearly shown his political preferences, in this case for Hillary Clinton rather than President Trump. I don't care if he privately feels that way. But when he puts his cards on the table in terms of, you know, putting out tweets one way or the other, I think that, you know, that agent has no business being in the investigation. And the people that agent is about to put in jail should have a second opportunity to defend themselves, Frank, which is why I think it's going to happen with Flynn. I think some judge is going to throw this out. I really believe that.
Well, I think it is. But, you know, let's go back, okay? And this business where you hear everybody saying, well, you know, it's kind of like after 9/11 when you heard Bush and everyone saying, well, we all know that Islam is strictly a religion of peace. And that's what we want to believe. It is not necessarily true. And you hear, well, the FBI is really a great organization. There may be a few problems. No, not necessarily true. Go back to the Clinton administration. When the Clintons asked for dossiers to be compiled on leading Republicans, and it was the FBI that did it. Nobody said, I'm sorry, Mr. Clinton, I cannot go in and do this to these people. They're American citizens. You do not have a valid legal reason for doing this. So, you know, this has been going on for a long time.
Well, I think you're right. And I just feel that in this particular case, what started out as an investigation to identify collusion, that lake has apparently dried up because they don't have anything. I mean, if they did, I'm sure we would have heard it by now. I mean, with all the leaks that we've heard, I'm sure something would have leaked by now, Frank.
Well, and the thing is, these leaks are crimes. The leaks General Flynn are crimes. And these crimes are all happening under the aegis of Manafort. So what does that say about how this is being run? Not to mention how he chose the people that are on the staff. And remember, this guy that was booted last summer, that long ago, mm-hmm. because of his anti-Trump tweets, he was a pick of Manafort's.
You mean Obama, you mean Mueller, not Manafort, I think.
Mueller.
No, that's right. That's what I thought you meant. I just wanted to correct that. No, I think you're right. And I actually feel bad for General Flynn right now, because my first reaction was when this whole thing happened, my first reaction was, well, why would he lie to the FBI? I mean, what's the point? He wasn't doing anything wrong. Maybe he was, as some people are saying, he was protecting his son or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I can understand that to a point. But now, I mean, I'm beginning to think that he was really set up, and I just I would not be surprised if a judge looks at this and says no, that you just cannot, we cannot allow this, throw it out, and then I think that's when the entire Mueller investigation just falls apart.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's long past due. And somebody has got to come out and say, and this deputy attorney general who was there during the Obama administration and who picked Mueller, he has got to say, if Sessions doesn't have the stones to do it, he has got to come out and say, close this thing down. You haven't proven
right.
anything.
Let's well, and I think a lot of you know, a lot of Americans are probably feeling that way, because you know this investigation has been going on. You have all these leaks. Today there was a leak about bank records from a German bank. Now it turns out that apparently was not true. But even you know even if in fact he's looking at those bank records, the leak itself is doing the investigation so much harm, because I can guarantee you the bank involved, let's just say that you're a bank and you get a, what you believe is a confidential request for the records of a particular client of yours. And you say, okay, fine, we'll work with you. We'll give you the records. And the next day your name and the bank's name and the fact that you're doing this is on the front page. That's not something the bank wants to have out there, because the banks want you to think that, you know, if you have money with them, that they're going to protect your identity and so on. So the bank must be pretty angry that this story was out there. If it's true, they must really be angry. If it's not true, I certainly understand why President Trump would be angry. So either way, it's a bad idea, Frank.
Oh, it's a terrible idea. It's a terrible idea. It should never, so much of this stuff should never have happened. If you're going to have a special investigation, and like you, I'm very skeptical of them, you have to have definite rules, and I think you have to have time limits where, okay, if you don't have it in 6 months, you're going to have to renew it, and you're going to have to prove why it should be renewed, and you are limited to this point. You know, when in American law, when you go for a search warrant, when the police want to search a property, they have to go to a judge and they have to say, here's where we want to search. Here specifically is what we are looking for.
Right. Exactly.
And I think the same thing should be true in these cases.
I think you're exactly right. And if it was collusion, and that's what we were told that it was, and I remember watching the assistant attorney general being interviewed on television, and the moderator asked him the question, what happens if Mr. Mueller wants to go beyond your mandate? The assistant attorney general said, well, he has to come back to me and get an okay. Well, if Mr. Mueller went back to the attorney general, the assistant attorney general, and got an okay, I'm not sure he told anybody else, because the attorney general, I mean, this investigation right now, Frank, is talking about obstruction of justice, German bank records. That had nothing. That's not why Mr. Mueller's investigation was created. And if an investigation can go off in all these directions that quickly, maybe it's better to shut down the idea and never again have an independent counsel. I was opposed to independent counsels from day one, and I am now more opposed than ever, Frank.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I think it's an idea that was tried and that did not work and does not work.
That's right. That's right.
Because you end up creating a legal star who feels that he, for his own ego, he's got to do something, even if he, you know, as opposed to saying, I'm sorry, I looked, there's nothing there.
Right, and it's exactly right, because, I mean, they're spending all this money. They hired all these people, and then on top of that, they hired all these Democrats. And we were talking – I remember you and I talking about this months ago, and I remember we were talking one time, and we said, aren't there any Republican lawyers that he could hire, or at least have a – maybe six Republicans, six Democrats? I mean, the idea that he built such a staff with heavy Democrats, I just think it was a bad idea, whether he realizes it or not. I don't know. But I think this investigation has got to be shut down. They've got to give us, I mean, they say, this is what we found. This is not what we found. And we're going to shut it down and let President Trump govern without this cloud over the White House, which is, it's just very frustrating, Frank.
It truly is. And, you know, I have to say this. People do not do things without a reason. And I think that the reason that Mueller went ahead and acted in that manner, hiring only these Democrats, big Democrat donors, is because he's trying to insulate himself. Now, he was the best friend of James Comey. If you want to go back to that really big Clinton scandal called Uranium One, he was one of the ones who okayed that. He was in that up to his neck. So the bottom line is, Mr. Mueller could find himself called before Congress and before very long.
Well, and what's interesting about this is that the Wall Street Journal editorial that I was talking about before raises a lot of these questions. That maybe Mr. Mueller was not the best man for this job. Maybe he had too many conflicts of interest for this job. But I was willing to give the man the benefit of the doubt 5 or 6 months ago. But I'm done with that, because this investigation has now gone way out of control as far as I'm concerned. Well, Frank, I want to thank you for joining me tonight on short notice. We'll probably do a follow up here early next week, because I have a feeling that this story is going to get very interesting. That's all I can.
I think it's snowballing.
I think this is really gonna get very interesting. So I want to thank you very much for joining us tonight, and most of all, thank you for joining me on short notice.
Oh, not at all. My pleasure, Silvio, and blessings
all right.
to you and the audience in the holiday season.
Well, thank you so much, Frank. Thank you. Thank you so much. We're going to take a little break. We're going to hear from my friend Carlos Geddes, and we will be right back right after this.
This is Carlos Geddes, Heartbeat, and I would like to see you guys this Saturday night at Nola Brasserie Authentic Cajun and Creole Restaurant, located at 1201 Main Street, downtown Dallas. I'll be performing instrumental high-energy jazz at 7:30 until midnight. So make your reservation today at 469-872-1820.
This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas. As I mentioned, thanks to our friend Frank Burke for joining us on short notice. We have a link to Frank's book on the show information. It's a fascinating book about the relationship of the media and some high-profile cases over the years. I think this Mueller investigation has really hit a wall here. And these two FBI agents who are part of the investigation, that's part of the problem. The situation with Mr. Flynn, that's part of the problem. And I think we all need to stand back a little bit and take a look at this, because when an American citizen is put through what Mr. Flynn has been put through, where he's being investigated by an FBI agent who has been tweeting stuff about against Mr. Trump, and he's investigating someone related to the Trump administration, and Mr. Flynn was never told about this agent's problem. I just think this is something that all of us have to think about. You know, I don't care what party you're in. I don't care who you voted for. If you ever get in trouble with the FBI, I hope, if I ever get in trouble and the FBI wants to pay me a visit, I certainly hope that whoever is visiting me is not someone who's politically tainted one way or the other, or certainly has not been out there doing politics for one side or the other. Everybody has a bias. I can live with that. Everybody has a bias. Everybody's going to vote for this guy or that guy. That's fine. I understand that. I expect, you know, FBI people or whatever to vote and vote any way they want to. That's fine. But I also expect them to keep that to themselves, so that when they're doing their job, they keep politics out of it. Otherwise, I think we have the situation that we have right now with the Mueller investigation. This thing is falling apart. I can tell you, this thing is falling apart very quickly. And I'm not sure if we're going to be able to recognize this investigation in a few weeks, because I think that I would not be surprised if Michael Flynn's case is dismissed by a judge by everything that's happened. Have a good day, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and we will talk to you later.